Scripture doesn't know anything like that. Scripture speaks of us being joined together. Scripture speaks of us as a body, not with these amputated parts. We are joined and knit together. And if you're going to be knit together and joined, you're not going to have to be grounded and steadfast. Because, you know, sometimes we pray, God, save me from your people. God, save me from the saved. As Christians can...
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of Colossians. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. And now here's Pastor Rick in Colossians chapter 1 with his continuing study on Cross Reference Radio.
And so we continue back to, I want to take verse 23 again. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, this preaching to every creature under heaven is a Hebraism. It's a Hebrew sort of a... the word escapes me, but it's a phrase. And it means you've spoken to Gentiles and Jews alike, because to the Jew, that's all there was. You're either a Jew or a Gentile. And he is declaring here that the Jews and the Gentiles have been exposed to the gospel on equal terms. That being a Gentile or being a Jew has nothing to do with being saved any more than it does to if you're, you know, wide or narrow, tall or not. It's the gospel. It's the heart. And verse 24, he says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of faith, of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now remember, as I said, he's in prison. In fact, when he writes verse 23, to go back just in a thought for a moment, he is saying these Gnostics are kind of trying to sweep you out of the church. If you go with them, you're no longer continuing with Christ. But why would you go with them? Stay. And then he says, you know, I rejoice, or again, verse 24, in my sufferings. Why? Because Christ is real. He's worth staying with. Nothing is going to move me away from him. Not a theology, not a tragedy. I'm going to stay with Christ. My freedom has been stolen from me. Paul did not have the right to do anything but be a prisoner at this point in his life. And he was not going to allow that to stop him from serving with joy. And that is what he is doing here. And where he says, to fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. He's not talking about salvation. That's a done deal. He's talking about he has to now, Christ can't do all the suffering and we do all the vacationing. We have our roles as Christians. We are to carry the gospel forward in spite of resistance. That's what he is doing. This is what he is speaking about. To be, if you are just satisfied with your salvation and you go no further with that as a Christian, something's wrong with you. There's a lot of things I can say, but I think that's just jacked up. That does it. That's, you know, a worldly phrase, but doesn't it do it right? I mean, it's something wrong. If you just, okay, I got my salvation, now all I have to do is just do what I was doing before. And that wasn't the case with this man, and it's not supposed to be the case with us. And he says, for the sake of his body, the afflictions he was going through, verse 24, is for the church. As he says, for the sake of his body, which is the church, the blood-bought group of believers. It is unfortunate that some believe that they can be successful as isolated Christians. The scripture doesn't know anything like that. The scripture speaks of us being joined together. The scripture speaks of us as a body, not with these amputated parts. We are joined and knit together. And if you're going to be knit together and joined, you're going to have to be grounded and steadfast. Because, you know, sometimes we pray, God, save me from your people. God, save me from the saved. As Christians can be quite difficult. And that is a fact. It's a reality, and there's no escaping it. But we don't have to be that way. And you and I personally don't have to be that way. That means you are free to disagree with someone, but we're not free to be disagreeable, irritable, rude, obnoxious people. Again, I let my wife, you know, years ago, you know, it was people would just, new people would come in and they didn't know she was the pastor's wife, and it was just, if anything, was from some people. And then someone would say, oh, let me introduce you, this is the pastor's wife. Oh, how are you? And everything would change. Fraud, fraud. They should drop down out the ceiling. You've been busted. Rudeness in Christ. To me, that is an X-ray. That is an indication of what, that's the blood work coming back. You've got problems in you that are not acceptable. We all have problems, but some of them, they don't belong there. This can be fixed if you want to fix it. Verse 25, he says, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Well, Paul, being more than a minister, became a martyr. And, you know, I'm sometimes bothered when people, when I'm in the act of pastoral ministry and someone refers to me as the minister, a Christian, as though they're not ministers. The Greek word here is diakonos, from where we get our English word deacon. It is a word for all the servants in Christ. We are all supposed to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I happen to be the minister, a minister of the ordinances and the institution of the church. In that sense, that's where I am a deacon. I am a minister in that sense. And most of the body of Christ are not. Otherwise, it'd be all Indians and no, all chiefs and no Indians. So now, if you got a political correctness with that, too bad, because there's nothing in that that is insulting. Yeah, but if I had said if we're all generals and not soldiers, everybody would be fine with that, unless you were in the Navy. Then you got a problem. Why can't they be admirals and sailors? So there's no end to this nonsense. So back to ministers. We are all ministers in Christ. And so when he says, I became a deacon, a servant, that is the idea. Now, deacon is not someone who is just an usher, leads people down, or, you know, it's just a servant in Christ. And this is male or female. We have little children here who operate as deacons, and they're assistants in the children's ministry. I don't know what happened with them in the usher ministry. They had the little, you know, well, I shouldn't say little, something pretty big, but coming up, and we'll be looking into that again. Why didn't it work? But anybody can serve. So coming back to this, verse 25, he says, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship. A stewardship is to be given the privilege to manage property that belongs to someone else. And he is, that's what Paul is saying. According to the stewardship, God has entrusted me with managing his flock. They're his flock, not mine. And yet he has to have the authority to do that, and he did. It says it's from God, verse 25, which was given to me for you, which is another thing that a lot of Christians don't appreciate. The leadership of the church is a gift from God, according to Ephesians chapter 4. God has given gifts to the church, and those gifts are, I'm giving you leadership, because without leadership, you know, have you ever been at a job where there was no supervisor and you had things to do? And somebody tries to, you know, take the initiative and be the leader, and you say, who made you the boss? I don't agree with that. I'm not doing what you did. It's a mess. And so the church is the same way. And so now you've got people out there saying these things that, you know, we have a better way of doing it than Jesus Christ. We don't believe in pastors. I don't have anything further to say to that person. It's such an easy one. You get that right, you're going to get that wrong. You're going to get them all wrong. So anyway, coming back. And you know what happens is, pause there, people who are trying to do a decent and good thing, they take these views, and the victims say, because they're doing a good thing that I like, I'm going to ignore the thing that Jesus said. No, don't do that. There are many people in the world who want to help. You know, you marriage counselors want to help. That doesn't mean they're right. That doesn't mean you should go to them. And if you're a Christian, the church is the place. You're going to pay somebody to ask me to fix my marriage or my child's behavior. If your child won't listen to you, take your belt off. Might not want to do it in the mall, because you might have to take out a few of the adults, too. I'm going to rat you out. No, you ain't. No, I'm kidding. So, who are these people? Tell me how to raise my kids. Anyway, the church, again, if every Christian, what would happen if Christians threw themselves into the local assembly? You'd have this muscle car of a church. You'd have this strong and mighty fortress in the midst of a community. And what would then happen? I think God would work. He's obligated himself to then work through us. This was the case in Jerusalem, when the church first began. But it's not easy to get. Verse 26, well, we need to take the bottom of verse 25 with it, to fulfill the word of God. The mystery, verse 26, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Now, he's going to reveal that this mystery is the Gentiles joining into the church. Maybe there are a group of people that you don't like. Maybe you have problems with racism. As a Christian, make sure it's a problem if you have it and not just, oh, you know, that's just the way I am. Every human being is made in the image of God. That does not mean that they can't be wrong. That image was damaged in Eden. But the Jews, of course, had much problem with the racism, and so did many of the Gentiles. You know, the Romans, for example, the Romans that were stationed in Israel, they came to hate the Jews. The Jews hated, there was a mutual hatred. And so the Roman soldiers, for example, at Masada, and the Jews on top of Masada, they hated each other. But in the church, that was all supposed to go away and be joined together. But it didn't just fit like a shoe with a right size shoe. It didn't fit. And so Paul knew this, and he's dealing with it in the church, and he's saying, this is the mystery. Listen, the prophets spoke about the Messiah. There were some mysteries about the Messiah that we knew. We knew that he would come from Bethlehem and things like that. There were other things about the Messiah that were impossible to know until the Holy Spirit came and taught the church these things. But then there were things about the church that were a mystery, how the church would function. And in the day of the Lord, he began to introduce the church, but he could not just, this is the church, because the Jews would never have received it. And so he delegated that phase to the apostles through the Holy Spirit. And here in Colossae, as in other places, he's telling them the mystery of the church is this joining of Jew and Gentile at the cross of Christ. And the blood of Christ washes out the ethnic distinction, though cultural habit will still be there. And there's nothing wrong with cultural habits so long as it's not sinful. I mean, if you come from a cannibalistic culture, then, you know, you've got to make some changes. But if you just come from a culture and, you know, maybe they like to drink horse milk, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, people do in parts of the world. I mean, over in the stand, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, you know, they do that stuff. If I go there ever, I'm taking a cow with me. It's just a milk cow. Anyway, this cultural thing. Now, in our society, I mean, we have got different cultures that do church differently. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you go into a church and in music, you know, they're jamming. There's nothing wrong with that so long as they're getting who Jesus is correct. Or you go to another church and they're singing still Reformed the songs from the Reformation period. Nothing wrong with that so long as they're getting Jesus right. a bell choir. I remember the first time I saw a bell choir. I was like, that is the strangest thing I've ever seen in my life. But that's how they did it. And there's nothing wrong with the bell choir, so long as they get it right. Now, if any of you come up to me asking, you say, well, I'm really good at these bells, probably going to say, you know, anyway. The mystery, verse 26, which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. That's us too, right here, right now. It's revealed to us. We are not to have these petty hang-ups. And verse 27, he continues, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles. So you see, that's why I'm giving the explanation to 26, because 27 gives the answer, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. How hard is it to give up what you've been raised with? This is a very easy question. And it's going to hurt a little bit. These Jews and Gentiles were raised to be separate, especially the Jews. And now the gospel comes along and saying, well, you can't be that way anymore. You're living in a society where people are saying you can't own guns. And what are you going to do with that, Christian? Are you going to go out with a, you know, fighting and shooting? And what are you going to do with that? I don't like this at all. That's why I'm trying to get you uncomfortable with me. Because I'm not just going to go, here you go. But at the same time, I understand that I'm not here for that. And may they not get their way. May we indeed be raptured or something else that works very nicely for us happens to them. Oh, that's sad news. Impeached? Oh. Anyway, okay, come back to this. Verse 28, and here is, well, back to 26, I mean, the mystery of the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope and glory. That he is our hope, he is our glory. Hope's not our hope, glory's not our glory, it is Christ, it is a person. In verse 28, he says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Let me reread this part of this verse as some Christians practice it, I think. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all hysteria or in all emotionalism or in all folly. Or self-made zeal. I really want this guy to get saved. You know, putting a track in your husband's sandwich is not a good idea. We can understand that. What is this? I'm not saying anybody would do that, but other things that we do that are just as kooky. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's not the effort in our strength that gets a soul saved. It's the efforts in the Spirit. It is keeping their name before the Lord. It is being ready to preach the gospel. It is understanding with wisdom. Be wise as serpents, harmless as dove, Jesus said. And so this is one of those, you know, verses that I think are so passed over by so many Christians because they want someone to get saved so badly that they're willing to be a nuisance to do it. And a nuisance does not bring forth fruit. So we preach Christ, and we warn every man. Three every mans are here. Doesn't matter if they're Gentile, Jew, someone we don't like, and someone we do like. And as Christians, we will still find people in our lives who we don't like. I don't like that guy. Why? He's just abrasive. Or I don't like him. He always, you know, says this or does that, and it irritates me. Okay, there's room for that. But it has nothing to do with the preaching of the gospel. And so him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man. Well, Paul is saying people who come into Christ, they need to be taught. And this need to be taught is perpetual. It is not a one-time thing. And if you are always sitting and not doing, you will get tired of being taught the word of God. And then you become restless and make trouble or something, or become less than what you should be. And so teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Paul wanted everyone he came in touch with to be saved. He wanted them to receive the gospel. And this is one of those verses that I memorized years ago and loved it when I was out in the workplace. This was just one of those powerful pillars of courage and guidance in sharing the faith. Now, I will say, when I worked in the world and ministered in workplaces, I don't remember really regretting anything I said in Christ. As a pastor, I admit that I have said many things that I'd like to do over. I should have said that a different way. Maybe shouldn't have said that. That was a little bit too strong. Maybe that wasn't strong enough. But this is the major leagues now. And this is not, you know, underhand, T-ball. And, you know, just in passing, my son mentioned to me that he didn't think baseball was that good of a spectator sport. After I got back from my lawyer's office taking him out of my inheritance, I tried to share with him that, let me stop trying to share with him like he's 4 years old. You older parents, you know your older kids, they're still like your kids. And they're just going to happen that way. That's why they don't call you Mitch or Debbie or whatever your name is. They go, Mom and Dad, till you die. That wall is there, and it needs to be there. It's good to have this parental, patriarchal, matriarchal system in place. It is to our benefit. But I said, but you got to play the game to really enjoy the game. When someone's hurling a fastball at you, you can hear that thing coming long before it gets to you. And it won't take long to get to you. And if you're in the way of it, even if you're third base, and that ball comes flying down on a ground ball, you can hear it coming. It's trying to kill the grass. It's coming at you so quickly. And then you've got this guy running as fast. And so the dynamic, but you've got to be in it to appreciate it, really. Not all the time, but many of the times. That's how Christianity is. You've got to really be in it to appreciate. If you're not evangelistic, if you're not looking to preach Christ, and you hear Paul say, Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. If you're not in it, you can't appreciate that. But if you're trying to save souls from a real hell, then a verse like that stands out. Every man, whether he is my employer or whether I am employing him. In verse 2, he says, To this end I also labor. That word labor in the Greek, to this end I also labor. Striving, that word striving in the Greek, is to strive against opposition. It's to struggle. He says, To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Now here's a man that is saying, when I preach the gospel, it is John 1:13. We'll take it again. We'll close with this. Again, John 1:13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Paul knew he could not save anybody, but he could be used to save people. And if he was going to be used to save someone, God was going to have to be working through him. God was going to do it. And for God to do it, in many cases, he was going to have to work really hard. He was going to have to strive to press against the resistance from hell. He says, according to his workings, not my ingenuity, not my craftiness, not my ability to irritate people into submission. We all have to learn this. And I have neighbors like you that I get to talk to, and I want to see them saved, but there's nothing I can do if God doesn't open the door for me to do it. And when he opens the door and I go in a little bit and it doesn't happen just yet, and the next time I see them, the door is not open, I don't go in. You cannot go into another person's house uninvited. You cannot get into their heart uninvited. The Holy Spirit has to be the one that invites, because he has perfect knowledge. He knows when this individual is ready. Jim Elliot said, we yank at green fruit. We mess it up. We're in such a rush to get somebody saved, we start picking on them before they're ready. And as a result, they don't get saved. Now, that is the Christian life. It is a glorious way. I encourage you, if you don't know it, learn it, and God will turn you into an evangelical Christian.
We are so glad you tuned in today to learn from the New Testament letter of Colossians on Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference Radio is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Virginia. We're honored to be able to share God's Word with you each time you tune in. If you'd like more information about this ministry or want to listen to additional teachings from Pastor Rick, please visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never have to miss a program. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes and Google Play Music or your favorite podcast app. We hope you'll tune in again next time to join us as we continue our study through the Bible right here on Cross Reference Radio.